God. We can use them as prayers, we can use them as songs. But there's 150 of them, so which one are we going to choose? And Psalm 23 is possibly the most famous, not only psalm in the Bible, but probably the most famous passage in the Bible. And David was a shepherd. Have the next slide, please. But before we start, I thought I'd give you some facts about sheep. Because you've got to go home with some facts about sheep, and this week I've learned more about sheep than I think I'm going to use in a lifetime. So, there are over 1 billion sheep in the world. That's a lot of sheep. If a sheep ends up on its back, like that, it'll find it really hard to get up on its own. It'll need the shepherd to come and get it the right way up. 1 pound of wool can be as much as 10 miles of wool. Now, Jill knitted most of the sheep in church. If you've got a knitted lamb, Jill Lloyd has knitted all of those. I bet there's well over 10 miles of wool in the sheep she's knitted. So at the end, please, Jill. They are amazing, and we love these sheep, and they get well used. And I didn't notice one sheep was missing an arm today. So, and Jacob Carr's got it. Who knew? So we're all different. We all have different bits and pieces, but that's a three-legged sheep. The wool never stops growing either. That's the other thing. Sheep also have nearly 360 vision, so they can see behind them as well as ahead. What an amazing trick that would be. And sheep can recognise faces. There was a study last year by Cambridge University that said that sheep recognise well-known faces. And they know they're shepherd. And we know from the Bible that they don't only know faces, but they recognise voices. It's all really fascinating. But to be honest, sheep are rather dumb animals. They're not very good at looking after themselves. And before you think I'm going to be pulling the wool over your eyes this morning, sorry. My son Daniel said I was allowed one of those, and that was it. You'll be pleased to hear, no more of those. This psalm doesn't even mention sheep. This psalm is all about the shepherd. David knew what it took to make a good shepherd. While his brothers were off being soldiers, he was left looking after his father's sheep. And I think sometimes he was really frustrated, but God knew where David was supposed to be. He was to learn all about being a shepherd because it would equip him for the future. Being a shepherd is a really tough job. You have to fight things like lions, bears, and wolves. Look, the budget for Nautilus is coming. This is all I can get for the lions. I've got 100 sheep. I couldn't get any more lions. But being a shepherd is a really tough job. Sheep, as I say, are not very bright. They wander off, they get lost, and they very easily become prey. And they're totally reliant on the skill of the shepherd to be looked after, not only to survive, but to thrive. David would have been alone for long stretches of time, and it's not really a 9-to-5 job where you can pop home for tea. So David had plenty of time to write Psalms, and we're going to look a bit closer at what he says in Psalm 23. It's only 6 verses long, so it's not very long. So, David starts off by saying, "The Lord is my shepherd." He doesn't say anything about it, God being a shepherd, or the shepherd. He's my shepherd. David had a relationship with God. He knew that all his skills and his characteristics and everything he had came from God. He was totally reliant on God. God wasn't a distant deity or something theoretical or a religion. He had a relationship with his shepherd. He's my shepherd. We just said that sheep could recognise faces. And Jesus said that he was the good shepherd. And he says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." In the West, we're used to sort of seeing shepherds behind the flock, and with a sheepdog, the sheep are in front, and the shepherd's behind. In the East, the shepherd would lead out from the front, and the sheep would follow. So we need to sometimes look at the context in which the psalm was written. The sheep are literally following the shepherd. The shepherd's in front of them. So one of the questions this morning is, how well do you know God? Can you say with that confidence, the Lord is my shepherd, he's my God? Next one, please. And then he goes on to say, I shall not want, or I lack for nothing. How wonderful to live in that way of knowing that God gives you everything you need, that everything you have is from God, and that you lack nothing. It's really tricky living in Reigate sometimes, isn't it? It's always more we want, and that pressure to have and to get and to strive really can be quite overwhelming. But David said, if we know who the shepherd is, then we will lack nothing. We'll have all we need. We might not get all we want, but we'll have all we need. And so the second question would be, how content are we with what we've got? And then he says, he makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me by still waters. So I brought some green pastures this morning. Lovely, lush green. And with all the rain we've had recently, all the grass coming back, it's looking green and lush. But in Bethlehem, round where David the shepherd, the ground would have looked more like this. It would have been dry, dusty, and not very good for sheep. Sheep love eating lush grass, but they wouldn't have had that. The shepherd has to work really hard at making sure that the pasture is lush. He'd have to clear rocks, clear weeds, make sure that it's watered. I love the idea, those of you who look after children will know that sometimes you have to make a child go to bed. They don't want to go to sleep. You know that bit when they're so tired and you just know that you need to be made to go to sleep. Some of you look like you remember that already. but the shepherd sometimes has to make his lie down. Rest is really important. Are we getting enough time to stop and just spend time in the company of the shepherd? Sheep don't like flowing water, heavy flowing water. They like still water. So sheep will only come and drink when it's really still water. And again, when the land is really dry and really dusty, trying to find places where there is still water is a skill that the shepherd learns and develops. And there's that sense of that living water that we talk about in the New Testament that Jesus says, come to me, all who are thirsty. We need to make sure we've got time to be able to just get away and rest. And sometimes God says, I'm going to make you lie down in green pastures and still waters. So, the next picture, so there's your sheep drinking water. This is the sheep on its back. Now, a sheep that ends up on its back might be because it's wandered off. As I say, sheep aren't very bright. They're not looking at where the shepherd's going. The ground's not very even. They lose their balance. Some sheep get a little bit overweight and tubby, and as they lay it over and stretch out, they overbalance. I told you, I've learned a lot about sheep this week. So your lovely, slightly plump sheep just loses its balance and ends up on its back. Sometimes their wool hangs on to all the stuff it picks up along the way. It ends up being weighed down with things that it's picked up on its journey, and it just gets too heavy and goes over. Lots of you, I know all of you who go to Tots Praise know this story. We spend it in morning groups because we do it a lot, the story of the lost sheep. And Philip Keller is a shepherd. He's written an amazing book about what Psalm 23 means to him as a shepherd. And he says, the trouble is, the sheep ends up on its back like that. There's only a fairly short amount of time before that sheep's in real trouble or even dies. So the fact of the shepherd realising he's got a sheep missing, the worry is that that sheep is somewhere with his legs up in the air. If he doesn't get to it soon, it will die. So that's why the shepherd races off to find it and put it back on his feet. Sometimes we get a bit tangled up in stuff, don't we? Or we get too comfy, or we've just lost our way. And we've lost sight of the shepherd, and we don't know where he is. And sometimes our image of God is that he's going to be, he's fed up with us, he fucks up again, he's just had enough, we're not good enough. But the picture in this psalm and in the lost shepherd is of a shepherd running to find us, and puts back on our feet and gets us back to the green pasture, not the dusty brown stuff by still waters. Oh, sorry, sheep. I'm not a very good shepherd, but... I won't make you do the sheep pun that we sometimes do in Tots Praise. I was very tempted, but we won't do that. So, he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. This follows up from the last one. Sometimes we want the quick fix. We know the right thing to do, the right way to go. But sometimes we just want a shortcut. God's ways are always best. Doesn't mean they're always going to be the easiest. Sometimes they're really, really hard. And I love the image of the rod and the staff, that sometimes we just might need a little bit of nudging in the right direction. So, the next verse, I think, is probably one of the most famous. And it says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And this verse is used so often when people are having a tough time. And what it says is, we'll go around the valley of the shadow, or we'll just avoid it, or it'll never happen. It says, when we go through the valley of the shadow of death, that God is with us. We're not alone. He's with us, and he will provide for us security and comfort. And again, Philip Keller explained that quite often to get to the lush pastures and still waters, particularly in summer, you'd have to go through the valley. So the assumption is we aren't going to go through these tough times. And it's those times when we need to know who God is. And know who he is. So when we're following him, we know we're following him and we're not being distracted by something else. You prepare a table for me in the presence of mine enemies, and you anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. It's a really odd verse, I think, this one. It's really strange. I love the idea. I love food, you might know that. But that table before me in the presence of my enemies, that idea again of lushness and abundance. And then he says, you anoint my head with oil. Sheep are very easily irritated by pests. They quite often have flies. There are all sorts of lovely flies that sheep have. They have bot flies, they have nasal flies, and all sorts of other flies. Nasal flies buzz around their face, irritating them. And they can burrow into the soft, fleshy bits of their nose and their eggs. And a sheep can get so frustrated by this that they will literally bang their head on a tree, on the floor, to try and get rid of the frustration. And to help prevent that, a shepherd will anoint the head of the sheep with oil. It's like a healing balm. It heals the irritation, but it also deters the flies. In the Bible, being anointed, David was anointed by Samuel to show that he was going to be king. But we too are anointed. We're anointed with the Holy Spirit. It's that thing that should happen daily to make sure we don't get distracted and put off and just irritated by what's going on in life. But God gives us the strength to get through life. We don't want to be like sheep who are constantly banging our head on a tree to try and get rid of the irritation. I love that image of being anointed with oil. And it's something we need to think about regularly. And then we get to the bit where it says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a wonderful promise. What a lovely thing to hang on to when things are tough. But the thing is, all my pictures of sheep have shown just one sheep. Okay, the next slide, please. On his own. Sheep don't go around on their own. Sheep live in flocks, and we're called to be a community that follow the shepherd together. So as we go today, I want you to think about, do you know the shepherd, and how we follow him together as a church at St. Mary's, that we are a people, we are a flock. In another psalm, David says, we are the sheep of his pasture. So as we go today, I'm sorry to call you all sheep, but I want us to think about what it's like to be part of the amazing shepherd, God's flock. Thank you.